This is The Mudroom, uncommon sense parenting classes with your parenting coach, Alana Robinson. Weekly nuggets of developmentally appropriate parenting wisdom to help you parent your toddlers, preschoolers, and kindergartners more effectively with less effort. The Mudroom is recorded live on Facebook every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. Now, here's Alana.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Mudroom, our weekly uncommon sense parenting class. How is everyone today? We are sailing through September. I can't believe how fast it's going. Like, I wonder, why is it that as kids, time seems to go so slow, but as parents, it goes so freaking fast? Like, a school year felt like an eternity as a child. I guess it's because we don't have, like, the demands or distractions of adulthood, so we're able to be more present as kids. I have been trying to use my newfound time to focus all my energy and attention on getting Teachability ready for its first round of beta testers. So if you're a kindergarten, preschool, or daycare teacher, and you're listening, and you'd like to beta test Teachability for me, I encourage you to go to prnt.link/teachability and put your name on the list or register, depending on when you're listening to this. Teachability is basically parentability, but for teachers. I've taken all the information from Parentability and changed the focus from home-based to school-based. Over the years, I've had a lot of teachers approach me asking if they could come into Parentability to hone their behavior management skills, and I've always said no, unless they have their own children within our age range, because I want Parentability to remain family-focused. But then, those kids go out into the world and parents were struggling to collaborate with their child's teacher. And that resulted in a lot of conferences with teachers. And I'm only one person. So I decided to put together Teachability to give educators a short, bite-sized introduction to self-regulation-focused behavior management. But I want to make sure that it applies to as many classrooms as I can. So we are doing a live beta round starting in October. And if you're a daycare, preschool, or kindergarten teacher and you'd like to do some professional development with me, I'd be thrilled to have your input. Okay, moving on. Today we're talking about connection. If you're anything like me, you're kind of bored out of your mind with the parenting advice to connect first, then correct. It is so overdone. We've heard it 10 million times, and yet nobody seems to understand what that even means or how to do it, because when a child is upset or frustrated or really experiencing any big emotion, they aren't generally receptive to any kind of talk. So today I wanted to chat quickly about what it means to connect and how we can facilitate this. Before we get into it, however, if you're new around here, hey, I'm Alana Robinson. I'm a parenting coach for parents of toddlers, preschoolers, and kindergartners, and I help you understand why your children are misbehaving and how to fix it without stickers counting to three or losing your shit. I'm your host here on The Mudroom. I'm also the host of the free Parenting Posse Facebook group, and I'm the creator of the Parentability program, where I help you raise well-behaved kids of your own. If you're new around here, please like and subscribe so that you never miss another class. And if you're listening on Spotify or iTunes, do me a solid and leave me a rating or review if you find this class helpful. Okay, so what the hell does it actually mean to connect with your kids? Well, it's a literal connection. This may come as a surprise to many of you, but our limbic system actually gives off brain waves. Just like there's sound and light waves, we give off brain waves. But only our limbic system does this, not our neocortex. So it's not telepathy, because the limbic system has no reason, language, or knowledge. What our limbic system does have is emotions. These brain waves are called limbic resonance, and resonance is actually a musical term, and the very dictionary definition of it is when the frequency of an externally applied periodic force on a body is equal to the natural frequency of the body readily begins to vibrate or free to vibrate with an increased amplitude. It's a mouthful, right? Basically, when something vibrates, everything around it also vibrates with that same frequency, just to a lesser degree. So for instance, if you play a D note in a room full of instruments, all the other instruments are going to vibrate at D as well. Not loud enough for you to actually hear it, but they do it nonetheless. Same with brains. When your brain waves hit the brains of others around you, their brain also vibrates with that emotion, just to a lesser degree. This is why when you walk into a room, you can immediately tell who's having a bad day, who's uncomfortable, who's really freaking happy. This is also what we train medical dogs to alert to. Dogs don't know that you're going to have a medical event in the epistemic sense, any more than you know that you're going to have a seizure ahead of time, for instance. But anyone who has had a repeated medical event will attest, once you've had one, you can generally sense when the next one is coming on. You alert to the change in your own resonance. Dogs have a much smaller neocortex than we do. They rely on their limbic system much more heavily, so they can be trained to recognize the change in our limbic resonance, which is generally the first indication of an impending medical event. They sense that something is different and they alert to that. Dr. Shanker describes resonance as kind of like a Bluetooth hookup. We are much more attuned to the resonance of those who we're with frequently. And when it comes to parents and children, our children are most alert to our resonance, especially if you're a biological parent, because our resonance is the first resonance that they felt. This is why the whole you need to put your oxygen mask on first thing is really valid, because resonance is a survival mechanism. It's how our children tell if they're safe or not. If mom's resonance is calm, then I'm probably safe. If mom's resonance is dysregulated, I'm probably in danger. So if you're not calm, your child can't be calm. So when we talk about connecting with our kids, it means to sync up our resonance with theirs. And we do that by engaging in a back and forth interaction with them. This is why when you're really upset, you want to vent to your girlfriends, because it's a back and forth interaction. And your girlfriend's calm resonance will chill yours out. It's why when men get upset, they want to play sports or go to the gym or hang with their buddies. But our little kids generally don't have the language skills to engage in a back and forth conversation. And even if they did, they're upset. They usually can't access their language. So we engage in a back and forth activity with them. Anything where they do something and then you do something until they've chilled out. The second step to connection is empathy. We've talked about empathy before, but the general idea is that you want to see the situation from their perspective as much as possible and communicate that to them. Often this takes the form of reflective listening, which is paraphrasing back to them what they say. Other times it takes the form of asking questions to clarify their perspective. We want to make sure that we get it, that we fully understand how they're feeling from their point of view. Now, this can be really difficult because as adults, we tend to be very dismissive of children's point of view. We invalidate their emotions and perspective as a matter of routine. It's important to note that by validating your child's emotions, which we've discussed previously, you are not agreeing with their perspective. You're just saying, yep, this is how you feel, this is how you see it. Finally, we want to collaborate. We want to ask them questions about what they could do next time, brainstorm ideas, and work through them to come up with a plan of action for next time. For young ones, this takes the form of the logical consequence process, where we use a declarative statement, we ask them how they could accomplish their goal without hurting people or property, and then we give them some options. For older children, this is going to take the form of the Plan B process, both of which we cover in Parentability. Connection is hard work at first, but the nice thing about it is the more you do it, the easier it gets. Just like if you sit in your car, your Bluetooth connects automatically, but if you sit in a stranger's car, it's still going to connect, it's just going to take longer to get it set up. Children who are routinely connected with become habituated to it and therefore feel a lot safer doing it, so they're much more open to it. Kids who aren't used to being intentionally connected with will often resist it because it's new and very vulnerable and it doesn't feel safe to them. In Parentability, we go through various ways you can facilitate that connection with your child so that it gets easier to sync up with them and help them regulate their emotions in the long term. So I hope that this demystifies the concept of connection, that you're able to apply it to your own life. And if you've got any questions, I strongly encourage you to come and join us in the Parenting Posse. We have a great mod team and a huge membership of over 10,000 parents who would be thrilled to talk it out with you. The link is in the description. Have a great week, everybody, and I'll see you next time for another Uncommon Sense Parenting class. Bye!
You've been listening to The Mudroom, Uncommon Sense Parenting Classes with Alana Robinson. If you like what you just heard, remember to join us live every Wednesday afternoon at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on Facebook. And don't forget to rate, subscribe, share, and connect with us in the Parenting Posse Facebook group. This has been an Alana Robinson Family Services production.